Well, good morning. It's so good to see all of you. Actually, the last song that we just did was a song that actually requested for this Sunday, and there's a reason why. For those of you who this might be your first time coming, or maybe haven't heard, but there was a period in my life for about 15 years where I didn't talk to my dad. And so God has orchestrated things, and now we've reconnected. And one of the great things that came out of that is a few weeks ago, I actually had a chance to fly out to Detroit and spend a week with my dad, which was just incredible. And that Sunday morning before I came back, I went to church with my dad. And the neat thing is, out of this, you know, through this process, my dad has become a Christian, is fully walking with God now. And so we were at church together, and they did this song. And as I was listening to the song, it was a little bit of a different version because they had like that black gospel choir thing going. But as I'm standing there and I'm listening to the song, and I'm realizing, like, I'm in church and my dad is sitting right here next to me. It really was a reminder to me of just how incredible our God is, and just that he does have an incredible plan for our lives. And one of the things that happened during that week is my dad and I, we had some really great conversations. And one of the conversations that we had, we were standing in his kitchen and we were talking. And one of the things he said was, you know what, I've wasted so much of my life. And from this point on, I'm going to spend the rest of my life serving God. And I thought, man, this is my dad talking. But it got me thinking, though, as we're finishing up the series that we've been talking about called the Jesus Model. And really, the message today really is a bridge between the series that we're finishing and the campaign that we're going to be starting called Do Something. But as I'm thinking about that, I begin to think about our own lives. Have we really made that commitment to fully give ourselves to serve him and really allow our lives to truly count for him? My prayer is that we don't get to a point where it's too late to realize I've wasted my life. I've wasted my life. And my prayer is that as a result of just this series and the next series that we're going to do, is that you're going to make a commitment to say, for the rest of my life, I'm going to fully give myself to serving God and living for him. In January, I had a great opportunity with our junior high students. We actually went to a conference called Believe. And Believe is specifically designed for junior high kids. And the whole goal behind it is to introduce junior high kids to Christ in a way that totally relates on their level. So it was a great experience for them. Along with going to the conference, they had like jumpers at the conference and everything, bounce houses. So it was great. They had a blast. But one of the things that we did was, like, it was a Friday night and then all day Saturday deal. And so on that Saturday, we actually went to a place called The Garden. And it's an outdoor mall. If you've never been to Anaheim, it's actually a pretty nice outdoor mall. And they have like a food court there and everything, so the kids could have their choice of whatever it was that they wanted to eat. So we went there and we were getting ready to leave. And I was going down the down escalator. And of course, being junior high kids, I look up and about six kids are running up the down escalator. So I'm watching that and I'm kind of laughing. But as I went back later, started to reflect upon that, I started thinking, how much is that really like the Christian life? How much is that really? I mean, it's a great metaphor for the Christian life. And when I look at it from this perspective, you know, we have made a commitment in our relationship with God. And of course, our relationship with him and our salvation is not based upon what it is that we do. But once we make that commitment, if we really want to see ourselves grow, there's that commitment to run up that down escalator. And what will happen is, for example, with the kids, anytime they stop running, what would they do? They would go down. And it's that same way. Anytime we're running towards God, because, of course, the goal of that top escalator to get to the high end, of course, it's Jesus Christ, and we see him there. But anytime we stop running, anytime we give up, anytime we surrender, anytime we get defeated, anytime we allow that to happen in our lives, essentially what's going to happen is as soon as we stop running, we descend. And so I really want to encourage you to really begin to ask yourself, where do I stand at in my relationship with God? Where do I stand at in my commitment to him? When I look at my life, am I running up that down escalator. And so why should I do that? Why should I make that commitment? And one of the reasons why is because here at Church of the Beast Cities, we believe, and we firmly believe this, that God desires to do something incredible. He desires to do something incredible through you. And so it's up to you to allow him the opportunity to be able to work in your life that way. And so this is something as a church that we fully embrace, and we just pray for each one of us with our individual lives that we will be able to embrace that as well, and looking at the fact that God has created us to do something incredible. It says in Matthew chapter 19, verse 26, Jesus looked at them and said, "With man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible." But with God, all things are possible. A few weeks ago, in our connection group or in our small group, we were hanging out and we were talking about this book that we're going through. And one of the things that we started talking about is just living our lives on the edge, really making a commitment and truly allowing our lives to count. And one symbol of that, one characteristic of that, that we begin to just kind of unhash is just this idea of people who are willing to pray dangerous prayers. People who are willing to allow their lives to be on that edge. And we see an example of that in a prayer that Jesus prayed. But I know that dangerous prayers, it's kind of scary. But I think that this is the life that God really calls us to pray. It says in Luke chapter 22, verse 42, it says, "Father, if you are willing, take away this cup of suffering." And for us, for many of us, that's our prayer. Like when we go through the suffering, when we go through that difficult time, God, take it away. God, treat it like Calgon. Take it away. And we want God to remove that suffering. But here's the thing. This is where the prayer becomes dangerous. Because Jesus says, "But do what you want, not what I want." But do what you want, not what I want. Do your will, not my will. See, that's where it becomes dangerous. And I think that that's the kind of prayer that God is encouraging us to pray. The kind of prayer where we're saying, "God, I know that I'm going through this difficult time in my life. I know that I'm suffering, but God, rather than removing my suffering, God, what am I meant to learn through this? How's my life meant to be fashioned through this? How am I meant to grow through this? How's my life meant to become a greater impact because of what it is that I'm going through in this moment? God, how are you using this as a part of the process for me to take that step so that my life can have the incredible impact, God, that you desire for it to have?" Are we praying dangerous prayers? Are we truly living life on the edge? And I think sometimes we just want to avoid sometimes the difficult. We want to avoid the tedious. We want to avoid the things that are hard. But I think they're a necessity. I remember when I was going through basic training. And one of the things that we went through as we were doing basic training is how to put on your protective mask or your gas mask. And so the whole goal was for you to be able to get your mask out of your case, put it on your face, and to have it on and done in 9 seconds. Because, I mean, that's your life. And so what you do is you pull your mask out. If someone yells, "Gas, gas, gas," you pull your mask out, you put it on, and then you take your hands and you put it over the outlet valves and you blow. Now, of course, hopefully, as soon as you started yelling, "Gas, gas, gas," you kind of held your breath. Because that's kind of important. But what you would do is then you would blow. And the whole goal of blowing is you would blow all the gas that may have collected into that mask. You're blowing it out of the mask. And then you cover the inlet valves and you suck in. And then what it does is it seals it to your face. And then you have a hood. You put the hood over and you can look around. All right, get ready for battle. And so I'm in the Army and everything. We're going through this. And one of the things that I was about is I always wanted to be prepared because you just never knew. You never know what was going to happen from one day to the next day in basic. And so all the time, I would always go over how to put my mask on. My goal, being able to put it on in 9 seconds. At that point, I was a squad leader. So I would go throughout my squad like, "Guys, we need to practice this. We need to practice this. We need to practice this." Because you never know. You never know what's going to happen. And I would talk to other people in my company or in my unit as I was going through basic, and I would talk to them about it, and of course, how people are, they didn't want to do it. So one day, we just finished doing maneuvers, we're getting ready to do lunch, and so we're all standing in line, some people have gotten their lunch already, they're starting eating, and all of a sudden, you see these canisters come flying in, and you hear, "Gas, gas, gas." So I grab, do my thing, have my hood on, and then the comedy ensues. Because for all those guys who did not listen, they paid the cost. And so I look over and I see like the drill sergeants, they're all standing on a hill and they are dying. I mean, they are laughing so hard. So then I look around to see what they're laughing at. And it is just comedy. Like people are running around. There's a couple of guys. Like I watched one guy, he couldn't see where he was going because what they gassed us with was CS gas. And if you're not familiar with CS gas, it's actually worse than tear gas. So you see guys, a couple of guys, full bore, just took off running. Of course, you can't see. Boom, right in the trees. That's happening. A couple of guys are losing their lives. People are tearing and crying up, and it's funny. It really is. It's just funny to watch. But I wonder, like, how many of those moments in our lives when gas happens, when those trials happens, when that difficult moment happens, how many of those times are we really not prepared because, one, we haven't made that decision to put our lives on that edge, to be praying those dangerous prayers. Two, because we're not necessarily willing to put into practice the things that are really going to allow us to be able to connect with God so that our lives are prepared for those difficult moments when they do come. And really, here's the point. Here's what God is looking for. He's not necessarily looking for the greatest talent. He's not necessarily looking for the greatest gift. He's not necessarily looking for the greatest ability. There's only one thing that God asks you for, and that's your availability. And that's your availability. And if you're willing to make yourself available to God, God says, watch out. Let's look at what we can do. But the decision is up to you. The call is up to you. And the Bible makes it really clear that God is looking for people that he could use. It says in 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9, it says, for the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. So God is diligently looking for people who have said, yes, God. And I want to make this really clear. When I'm talking about making this commitment to God means more than just a commitment to go to church on a weekly basis. Great start, but it's more than that. It's more than just saying, God, here I am. Because we can talk about that till we're blue in the face. But the truth is, how we put into action what it is that we say that we believe. So when I say, God, here's my life, take it, literally, my prayer is that we truly mean that and that we're willing to allow our lives to count. And so really, in looking at the Jesus model, what we've been talking about is how to develop a perspective, how to develop the kind of heart that Jesus Christ has. How to develop that. And so what we're going to do is we're going to look at 4 points this morning. The first 3 points are just a review of what we talked about each week. And then the fourth point will be the challenge that we will have as a result of this series. And so with that, the first thing, if you want to develop a heart like Jesus, you must care about what Jesus cares about. If you want to develop a heart like Jesus, you must care about what Jesus cares about. And so week one in the series, we talked about that. We talked about the fact that God created you to be a hero. There are certain things that God expects us to do, that God encourages us to do. It says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2, live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God. And we're going to talk about sacrifice a little bit later. But here's the key thing. If you really want to know what you value in your life, just look at two things, where you spend your time and where you spend your money. Those two things will tell you what you value. You know, we could talk about our values till we're blue in the face, but where do you spend your time? Where do you spend your money? You look at those two things, and that's what they'll tell you. And so in this, let's look at where Jesus Christ spent this time. Luke chapter 7, verse 22 says, so he replied to the messengers, go back and report to John what you have seen and heard. Here's what Jesus cared about. The blind receive sight. The lame walk. Those who have leprosy are cured. The deaf hear. The dead are raised. And the good news is preached to the poor. The good news is preached to the poor. So look at how Jesus spent his time. There are passages that would say that Jesus spent his time investing in people, that there was one point he was so busy investing in people, helping people, healing people, he was so busy he did not even have time to eat. That's how busy he was about serving others and allowing his life to make an impact upon them. I know that for many of us, probably the greatest struggle that we have is our busy schedule. I owe, off to work, I go. I know that's probably one of our greatest struggles. But see, the whole idea behind this is to realize, what has God created me to be? So many of us are settling for lives less than what God created us to be. Because again, God created you to be a hero. This world is in need of heroes. This world is in need of people who are able to look out and recognize the plight of the world. The world is in need of people who are able to look out and recognize that there are people who need help. There are people who need love. There are people who need care. That the world is in need of people who are willing to make the sacrifice, who are willing to say, I will do what is necessary to help the healed, the broken, and the hurting. So here's a question I want you to reflect on. What does a hero look like? What does a hero look like?
You and I can't control where we are born. But what if things had been different for you? What if, instead of living in the richest nation on earth, you were born in one of the poorest, a place like this? A place that didn't have access to clean drinking water? A place where hopes and dreams died with drought? Where no matter how hard you worked, you couldn't grow enough food to keep your family from starving? What if you were born into a country where 17% of all children would die before they reach the age of 5? A country where conditions were so poor that the average life expectancy was 41 years old. A place where the closest medical doctor was more than 60 miles away. A place without roads, electricity, running water, hospitals. What if the roles were reversed and you were born by a sheer accident of longitude and latitude to be born here? Wouldn't you be praying that someone across the globe would see your condition and do something to help? Wouldn't you be praying that someone who had the courage and resources to do something to help would? What if you are that person? What if you could be the one to bring clean drinking water to a thirsty land? What if you could build irrigation systems that would allow farmers to grow enough food so that no one has to starve? What if you could make land that was dry fertile again and give a sense of hope and purpose to a whole village? What if you could help build a medical outpost staffed with medical personnel to help feed malnourished children, help educate the community, and help prevent people from dying from diseases that are entirely treatable? What if you are that person that could single-handedly bring hope to a place that needs hope? And what if you answered that call? Wouldn't that make you a hero?
I want to encourage you to begin to ask God, what's your call? It may not necessarily be internationally like this video shows, but it could be something here. But what is your call? God, what is it that you desire for me to do in allowing my life to be able to count for you? John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." Love isn't love until it acts. I can talk about being loving till I'm blue in the face, but it means nothing if I'm not willing to step forward, if I'm not willing to act. It's not until I've made that decision and I move forward and begin to allow my life to count that that's really what happens with love. And we see this. That's exactly what God did. God looked at the condition of the world. God saw that we were broken. He saw that we were harassed. He saw that we were helpless. He saw that there was nothing that we could do to fix ourselves. He saw that it was impossible for us to change. He saw that it was impossible for us to really be able to have the life that we wanted to have. So what did God do? He gave his Son. And of course, we're going to talk about that a little bit more next week, of course, with next Sunday being Easter Sunday. But he gave his Son for us because God saw what it is that we needed. And so what God is asking us to do is God is asking us to reflect his heart. Just as he is generous in serving others, he wants us to be generous in serving others as well. So if you're going to be like Jesus, if you're going to be blessed by God, If you're going to be a world changer, because that's what God wants us to be, world changers and history makers, that if we're really going to be that person, then we've got to begin to care about this world the way that Jesus Christ cares about this world. We've got to take that step. So, first step, care about the world that Jesus Christ, the way that Jesus Christ cares about the world. Here's the next thing. Number two, you must pursue what Jesus pursues. You must pursue what Jesus pursues. In week two, Pastor Billy talked about this. Billy talked about this. He talked about our mission, discovering our mission, discovering our purpose. Talk about how vital that is for our lives. And the truth is, our lives will never be fulfilled until the purpose, the mission that God has created us for, until that becomes reality. I love the Mission Impossible television shows and the movies, but there's always that one line right at the beginning when they find out what the mission is, and the guy says, your mission, should you accept it? Your mission, should you accept it? And I think that that's what God wants to say to us. Your mission, should you accept it, is going to be this. And I do want to encourage you. We're starting that Do Something series. Come for that. Because we're going to talk about how to find your purpose. And here's the thing that you'll find out. The way that we find out our purpose is very different than what we think it is. It's very different than what we think it is. So come for that. But I don't care what your background is. I don't care how financially well off you are. I don't care where you live. There's something in us. There's something in every single one of us that gnaws at us. It gnaws at our hearts. It gnaws at our souls. And that is simply this. There's that lingering in the back of your mind. And it always is saying, there's got to be something more. There's got to be something more. That's why you can live in that million-dollar home you sacrificed for, you've worked for. You get there and you realize, I'm not satisfied. Maybe you can have all the toys. You have the cars. But you get there and you realize, you're not satisfied. The world, our society has defined what success is. And we get there and we achieve it. And we feel like we've arrived. But we still get there and we feel like there's got to be something more. There's got to be something more than this. And I think we will never be satisfied until we find out what the something more is. And I believe it's that mission. It's that mission. It's that purpose. And our lives will never be satisfied until we are doing what we were created to do, what we were wired to do. It says in Isaiah 55:2, why spend your money on something that is not real food? Why work for something that doesn't really satisfy you? Listen closely to me, and you will eat what is good. Your soul will enjoy the rich food that satisfies. You will be fulfilled. That's what that promises. And so begin to examine, begin to look at your gifts, because the truth is, if you're going to find out what your purpose is, it is closely tied in with whatever your gifts are. So begin to look at that. Begin to look at how can you excel in your gifts. Begin to look at how can you use your gifts. And then just start doing it. And then just start doing it. And once you start doing it, once you start utilizing your gifts, then God is free to guide you to wherever your mission is, to wherever your purpose is. But you will never do it. You will never discover why you are here until you really begin to allow your life to count. You'll never discover why you're here until you really begin to utilize the gifts and the talents that God has given you. You know, we talk about Jesus. We talk about Moses. We talk about Martin Luther King Jr. We talk about Mother Teresa. Once he passes, we're going to be talking about Billy Graham. And we're going to be looking at all of these people. And what is the one thing that they all have in common? Every single one of them, they found out what their gifts were. They found out what their talents were. And then they allowed God to utilize them, and they were able to find their purpose. And once they found their purpose, they were able to make an impact that not only made a difference in their time, but they were able to make a difference that outlasted their time. That, my friends, is true greatness. And it is our opportunity to be able to embrace that once we begin to say, God, yes, I am going to pursue what it is that you pursue. I'm going to have that passion for what it is that you have a passion for. I'm going to allow my life to make the difference. I'm going to find out what my mission is. I'm going to live my life, and I'm going to do it. So you must care about what Jesus cares about. You must pursue what Jesus pursues. Number three, you must focus on what Jesus focused on. You must focus on what Jesus focused on. Last week, Pastor Jimmy talked about how to handle stress. how to handle life. And as I'm listening to him, the one thing started going through my mind, and that is how sometimes we can get caught up in the trivial. We can get so stressed out and worried about the menial things of life. It says in Matthew chapter 6, verses 28 through 34, and why do you worry about clothes? Look at how the lilies in the field grow. They don't work or make clothes for themselves. But I tell you that even Solomon with his riches was not dressed as beautifully as one of these. God clothes the grass in the field, which is alive today, but tomorrow is thrown into the fire. So you can be even more sure that God will clothe you. Don't have so little faith. Don't worry and say, what will we eat or what will we drink or what will we wear? The people who don't know God keep trying to get these things. And your heavenly Father, your Father in heaven knows that you need them. Seek first God's kingdom and what God wants. There it goes again. What God wants. Then all your other needs will be met as well. So don't worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow will have enough worries of its own. Each day has enough trouble of its own. So I can sum this up in one sentence. Don't get caught up in the stuff that really doesn't matter. Don't get caught up in the stuff that really does not matter. Why waste time? Why waste energy? Why waste effort? Why waste creativity? And we are amazingly creative about what we worry about. We are. But why waste creativity on trivial stuff? We get so caught up in all these menial things that as a result of it, our lives never embrace the significant. We never move beyond this moment because we're so caught up in these little things. These little things. And so we live life stressed out, burned out, overburdened, overwhelmed, because we're so caught up in these little things that don't really matter. And have you ever experienced that? I know that I've done that. You have this moment, you go through this experience in your life, and you get stressed out, you get worried, you chew your nails, you know, all those things. And then it works out, and you realize, why was I stressed out over that? Why did I worry about that? I know I've experienced that. So is it possible that you've allowed your life to be robbed because you're so focused on things that really do not matter? You're so focused on pursuing things that really do not matter. And here in America, I think one of the things that we've fallen short of doing is we pursue dreams that are very dysfunctional. And why are they dysfunctional? Because they never deliver what it is that they promise. They never deliver what it is that they promise. It says in Matthew chapter 8, verses 19 and 20, then a teacher of the law came to him and said, teacher, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus replied, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. In other words, Jesus was saying, I'm not worried about the small stuff. Now, I want to make this really clear. I'm not saying shirk your responsibilities. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is really begin to look at what is it that consumes your life? What is it that consumes your time? What is it that consumes your energy? And really, is it? Does it really matter? In the grand scheme of things, 10 years from now, 20 years from now, when you're standing in heaven, will it have really mattered? Will it have really mattered? Two rules in life. Two rules in life that I want to encourage you to live by. Number one, repeat after me. Don't sweat the small stuff. Rule number two, repeat after me. It's all small stuff. Really look at your life. What is it that you're living for? What is it that you're pursuing? Because in the end, will your life have counted? And then number four, and this is our new point for today, you must sacrifice for what Jesus sacrificed for. You must sacrifice for what Jesus sacrificed for. Question, are you a chicken or are you a pig? Are you a chicken? Are you? No, he didn't just call me a pig. What is, you know? But here's what I'm getting at. No doubt some of you this morning come into church, probably stopped at McDonald's and picked up a sausage biscuit with egg. I had one as an example for you, but I didn't make it to the service. Yeah. If you look at that, you see two levels of commitment between the two meats that are represented on that sausage biscuit with egg. Two levels of commitment. You see the chicken, right? We have the egg. The chicken was involved. The chicken gave the egg, said, here's my time, here's my donation, there's my egg. The chicken was involved. The pig, that's a different story. Right? Because in order for us to have the sausage, the pig had to make the supreme sacrifice. Are you a chicken or are you a pig? And I believe that God is saying, I need some pigs. I need some pigs. Here's the question. Are you willing to live beyond the convenient? Because that's what it's really about. Jesus going to the cross, you think that's convenient? No, not at all. And I think Christianity in America, the truth is that is one of our greatest challenges, is that we are not willing to move beyond that which is convenient. So we're chickens. We like to be involved because it really costs us too much. We do our thing and boom, we're out. But God is saying, I am looking for people who are truly willing to make the sacrifice. It says in Mark chapter 10, verses 43 through 45, instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. So here's the thing. When you read the Bible's path to greatness is very different than what our society says is a path to greatness. See, the Bible says if we really want to be great, it's about descending into greatness. It's about serving. It's about giving. I think there are two words that sum up the American perspective of greatness. American idol. Right? Because it's all about, I'm in this competition, whatever it is that you're competing against, but I'm in this competition, and I must get to the point that I win the competition. I've arrived, my name's in lights, woohoo, I'm here. But the problem is, how long does it last? Taylor Hicks. Right? Right? Jordan Sparks. These are people that have won. What's happened with their greatness? And I mean, we can go down the line. And of course, maybe there are some people who were in American Idol. And maybe they are doing well now. But the point is, if they rest on that to be their greatness, you know what's going to happen? They're still going to have all of these things, may release great songs, but they still will never be satisfied. They still will never be fulfilled. They can have double platinum albums and still never be satisfied or fulfilled because it really is about something deeper than that. So in order for us to really reach that greatness, it's going to require sacrifice. And sometimes it might require for us to sacrifice our agenda. But the truth is, anything in life worth trying to get requires sacrifice, doesn't it? Whether we're sacrificing for God or sacrifice, it requires sacrifice. If I want to get that Grammy, then I need to sacrifice time in studio. If I want to get the Emmy or the Oscar, I need to sacrifice time going over my lines or going into the studio, going into the set. I have to sacrifice that. If I want to win that Super Bowl ring, then I need to sacrifice time going to practice. So if I'm going to achieve greatness, I have to be willing to sacrifice my own agenda.
I remember the day that we got on the plane and had those heartbreaking farewells with our families. I thought I was stepping into another world and that my life would never be the same again. All the things I was giving up.
In college, I was a communications major, and
I had envisioned
my life.
Corporate America.
Being a faithful church member somewhere in the suburbs.
Going to college, finding a husband.
Spending most of my energy and most of my time on the secular part of my life.
Career, earning a lot of money.
And then having my faith be the thing that I did after I pursued my life and my interests. in my senior year, I remember this guy asking us the question, are you interested in missions? And then most of us saying, no, not really. And then him saying, are you interested in chopping the ass off the end and having mission? And I remember being very compelled by that, the thought that I could live my life with mission. We live in Jinja, which is, it's not a very big town, but it's the second biggest town in Uganda. We thought, what if we started a center in the middle of town on Main Street that was the creative center for ideas and opportunities? We're wide open to the community. If you want a good idea, we'll help you find it. And we built this place we call The Source. And we took our name and our cue from the Nile River, which is here in our town. So we started with this motif of, are you seeking after the source of life? And people have, from the mayor to the, you know, local Islamic leaders that come in and made use of it. And I think the responsibility is now on us to continually have the people who work there and the people who minister there see people who walk in as an opportunity to reach another person for Christ.
Naively, I had thought that I would show up in Africa and I would have people begging me to tell them the story of Christ. And I found that wasn't the case. I had people begging me for money, for food, for clothes. Taking those steps of helping people physically is how you get to their hearts and to their souls. And since I'm a nurse, it's the physical aspect of people's health has been a great way to open doors to their heart.
You don't have to solve all the problems, you just have to be interested and you have to care.
I remember the day that we got on the plane, and what I found was that I've received more blessings from my time in Uganda than I feel like probably I've given.
And every attempt that we make to say, okay, you're going to sacrifice, you're going to move to Uganda, it's going to be miserable, has been met with blessings and wonderful experiences that we wouldn't have had otherwise. So I feel like being here and having this job and doing what we've done has been, it's been a blessing for us, not a sacrifice.
I think a lot of times we're so focused on the sacrifice that we never recognize the benefit. And the truth is, you will never experience the benefit. Because here's what we want. Give me the benefits, then I'll make the sacrifice. Right? Lay it all out. Is this worth my time? Worth my energy? Worth my effort? All right? That's the benefits? Then I'll do it. But here's the thing that's really interesting. One of the things that you'll notice that sometimes God does not do is lay out, here's how your life will be blessed because of what it is that you do. And you know why he does it? Because I think sometimes we don't realize the capacity of what it is that we're capable of. We don't realize that. And I think what God wants us to do is rather than having the picture clear first, is he wants us to take the step to say, okay, God, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to make that sacrifice. I'm going to make that sacrifice. And what you will find is the same thing that they said in that video, is once I made this sacrifice, my life became so rich. My life became so much more fulfilled. He said, I went to Uganda thinking that we were going to have these sacrifices. And the more that I talked about sacrifices, everything that I thought has been met by these incredible experiences. So we must be willing to sacrifice for what Jesus sacrificed for. It says in Mark chapter 8, verse 35, if you're trying to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake and for the sake of the good news, you will save it. You will save it. So here's the interesting thing. Are you trying to hold on to it? Are you trying to hold on to your life? Because if you're trying to do that, you're going to lose it. You're going to lose it. The very thing that you're holding on to, the very thing that you thought is going to bring you fulfillment, in the end, you're going to lose it. Because it's a dysfunctional dream. It will never fulfill what it is that it promises. Never will. So, if you're willing to say, here's my life. Here's my life. I'm willing to lose it. Then God says, that's when you'll really find it. That's when you'll really find what your life is all about. It says in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 18 and 19. Tell them to use their money to do good. They should be rich in good works and generous to those in need. Always be ready to share with others. By doing this, you will be storing up their treasure. I'm sorry, by doing this, they will be storing up their treasure as a good foundation for the future, so that they may, encircle this, experience true life. Until you are willing to care about what Jesus Christ cares about, pursue what Jesus Christ is pursuing, focus on what Jesus Christ focused on, and sacrifice for what Jesus Christ sacrificed for, you will only be living a shadow of what your life was intended to be. Only a shadow of what your life was intended to be. And so again, for every single one of us in this room, God wants us to be history makers. He wants us to be world changers. And so my question is this. What are you waiting for? What's holding you back from taking that step and just saying, God, I'm going to allow my life to begin to be used? So God is saying, if you can make a difference, do it. If you can reach your neighbor, do it. If you can love more, love more. If you can serve more, serve more. And that's when you'll begin to see what life is really all about. Let's pray. God, I thank you so much for who you are. God, I thank you so much for the way that you reveal yourself to us. And God, my prayer is that we will be able to recognize just the value of our lives. That we will begin to recognize, God, just the significance of what it is that we can do. That God will begin to recognize how much our lives can really count for you as we serve you. God, I pray again that this will be the morning. That this will be the morning that we will say yes. That this will be the morning that we start to pray those dangerous prayers. That this will be the morning that we begin to take that next step in our lives. So that we can begin to experience life, God, the way that you created us to experience life. And all these things we ask in your name. Amen. If you look inside your bulletins, you're going to see several things. One of the things that we like to do is on your connection card, we like to encourage you as a result of today's message, what you can do. But usually what happens is you leave your connection cards with us. So this morning, your connection card is actually on your notes because we want you to take this with you. And if you can answer this morning, fantastic. But if not, I want to challenge you to begin to pray about these questions. One thing that I will commit to God to do is, what is it? What is it that God is placing on your heart to do? I feel God is calling me to, you can write that there. If I could do anything for God and were guaranteed success, I would. And then here's what I want to encourage you to do. Start doing it. Start doing it. You don't have to come to the church for permission to start doing it. You don't have to come to Jimmy. You don't have to come to me. You don't have to come to anyone on our staff. As soon as you see what it is that you need to do, start doing it. Now, if you want training, if you want help in order to be more effective at what it is you desire to do, let us know, and we will get you whatever resources you need so that you can become effective at doing what God has called you to do. But you don't have to wait for us to give you the green light to go. Just start doing it. Just start doing it. Just start allowing your life to really count.